This leads us into our message this morning. Start at the end. Because as we approach a new year, and I know some of people, as you get to this point, you're going to have some people excited. They've made out their resolutions. I mean, they've got a list going. Others are just like, has it not gotten here yet? Some are just ready for this year just to go, and let's just flip the calendar. Let's get going. Well, this morning, I want to encourage you to take the next few days and really pray and ask God, what does he want to do in and through you in this next year? What areas would you like to see change? What areas would you like to learn and develop and grow in this new year? What lessons from 2024 do you want to take with you and build on in 2025? So this morning, I ask you one question. What are you expecting in 2025? Because here's the deal. You need to start with the end. Start at the end. John Maxwell is a very famous pastor, author, well-known leadership teacher. John Maxwell, if you do not recognize that name, literally where he has helped influence on the church side in developing leadership, where there was a chasm 25, 30 years ago, we really owe a debt of gratitude to this man. And he's influenced through writings, through podcasts, and so many different parts. In fact, I'm even a certified leader trainer in his organization because he just inspires me so much on leadership. He sold 25 million books in 50 languages. And one of the many lessons I learned from him is when you're approaching a project, when you're approaching anything that you want to aspire to, you begin with the end in mind. What's the picture? Where's the goal? Where are we going to go after? Because when you get the picture of where you want to go, you can start putting goals to it. You can start putting plan and action that helps you shape. You can know the resources that you're going to need for the journey. And so I just want to encourage you with this question, what are you expecting in this next year? Because what we will find is you just need to know this one common truth, and it's the hard truth. Something worth something will always cost you something. And so to get what you want to see a year from now, you need to know, you need to start to get a picture and realize it's going to cost you something to get there. And so when we start making steps to grow in our relationship with the Lord, to grow and to experience all that he has for us, we need to be prepared to take those steps. And that's why this question is so good. You need to start at the end. And one of the most governing parts to help us get to the end is having an expectant heart, a heart that's trusting in our God, and our heart and faith is vital to really see the expectations that we want to have and see it come to pass. Psalm 65 helps us see in Scripture how God wants to guide us and really help us wrap up one year but step into confidently in a new one. Psalm 65, verse 11, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. See, reflect on this past year. Take some time over the next few days. See, I'm so grateful over different things over this past year. When I look back at Calvary Church, I can't help but reflect on the new members that have joined our church, the new people that have walked in our doors, the new people that have joined us. I think of people that found healing this last year. I can think of stories of answered prayer that excites me. When I think of people that had deep and very hard spiritual hurts from the past and watching God begin to heal. See, I'm grateful watching this church family rally around and serve families in our congregation when they've lost loved ones. I've watched you stand by it, and it just, I'm telling you, it fills my heart. I'm grateful for the many that have been baptized in water this last year, to hear their testimonies and watch their faith. And that's why I just get excited. And if you're interested, make sure you sign up. Get the form in today. But I'm grateful for a new pastoral team that's helping us take steps in reaching the next gen in our area, ministering to our youth and kids at Calvary Church. Reflecting on this year, I'm grateful for the response for you as a church in reaching our community. What you have done to show your generosity through Feed the Need is astounding. I love it. Watching that trunk get filled up and overflowing into the, I love it. And when I watch what we did through the Thanksgiving basket and the season of giving offering in front of that, because you helped us be able to do 35 baskets for foster families in this area, and here's them and some families in our church. On top of that, because we had overage money that you gave in the offering, those helped us to do Christmas. We helped two families actually have Christmas gifts for Christmas where they wouldn't have before. We partnered with the Salvation Army to help 30 teenagers have a Christmas gift this past week. Otherwise, they would have had nothing. It's your generosity, and it gets me excited at the compassion outreach that God's going to help us to do in this new year. And so that's where, when we start to reflect on what God has done, he will crown your year with a bountiful harvest. And we can step in faith in a confidence of what God wants to do. But what will God do in this next year is going to be greatly determined by our heart. See, our heart is vital. In fact, the word heart appears 750 times in the Bible. And one thing determines everything is when it comes to starting to the end. And starting at the end to see what God wants to do in this next year begins with your heart. Our spiritual heart. See, when the Lord was speaking to Samuel, he said this, "The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, God looks at our heart, not our outward appearance. He looks to the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search the hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." See, God knows even the wickedness and the depths of our heart. And we may not even know all the areas of how bad our heart are. But God does, and guess what? He knows our heart, and he wants to do good in through our life. Jeremiah 29, and it's a very familiar, but we don't read too often past verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for a disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." See, God has a plan for us, but we have to seek him with all of our heart. When you look for God, you will find him. If you came in here today and you're looking for God, guess what? You will find him if you're looking. When we're wholehearted, committed, we will see God at work in every detail of our lives. 2 Chronicles 16, the first part of that verse, in verse 9, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." See, God is looking at our hearts, and he's looking to strengthen those who are fully committed to him. And we can learn so much from the kings of Israel. That I want you to notice something that, and you can see this throughout different parts of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel only went as good as the king's heart did. See, in so many parts, and this is one of the big responsibilities Pastor Stacy and I take as your pastor, the church will only go as high as we do. It's a leadership principle that I can go back to my friend John Maxwell. Look, leadership, it starts... Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so one of those parts that we can take from looking at the nation of Israel is that same principle at work, is the nation will go only as far as the king's heart does in their relationship with God. Look at some of this. 1 Samuel chapter 13. "But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." See, Lord speaking to Saul, and he's basically appointing David. See, God is interested in the direction. He's interested in the bent of our heart, because without our hearts leaning into God, we prevent God's blessing in our lives, and we actually subvert God's blessing in the lives of others. Acts chapter 13. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. See, David was raised up by God because he was a man after his heart. As we age, we must guard our hearts, because if we don't, we can fall just like any person. You can look at Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11. In Solomon's old age, so think about, Solomon got to see God come through in so many ways, answering prayers, blessing this nation, where it's without fail, it's not Solomon, this is totally all God. And yet, just like Solomon, if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, we could fall into the same trap. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord, his God, as his father David had been. See, Solomon, God saw God do amazing things. He'd seen the blessings, but he allowed things to turn his heart away from the Lord. And see, that not only affects you, but it affects the generations that follow you. What do you want to see passed on in your family? You got to start at the end. What do you want to see your family look like in 1 year from now? It starts at the end with your heart. See, Solomon watched God's blessing, watched God's power, but when he started to turn away from God is when he started to not be obedient. He started to not follow God's directives, which had told him, don't marry women from this other nation. But he thought he was wise in his own way. This will be okay. And those short-circuited, small-mindedness, self-conceited moments led to Solomon's demise. And it can lead to ours. And that's why we got to be challenged that we can learn from how the kings walked with their hearts before God. Because it did not only affect Solomon when he intermarried with non-believers, but look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. We see it passed on to Rehoboam, and it says this, but he was an evil king, for he did not seek the Lord with all of his heart. And things didn't end well for Rehoboam when you look at the very next generation. 1 Kings chapter 15, he committed the same sins as his father before him, and he was not faithful to the Lord as his ancestor David had been. As we look at all this, let's ask a question then. What does a fully committed heart look like? See, God is not a respecter of persons. He responds to every heart, and the key to having a great year is to start at the end, is starting with your heart. So how do I commit myself to the Lord? What does that fully committed heart look like? There's four things, and I want us to look at the life of Asa. Asa was one of the kings, and we can learn so much as we look at his life. So notice four aspects of a fully committed heart. First, a heart that knows God. This is a heart that goes after God, wants to know God personally. It's one who sees God as a friend. Second Chronicles gives us Asa's reign and how it starts well. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of God. See, his heart seeks and is full on for God. He wants to be like David. He wants to be like his great-great-grandfather. And look at verse 4, what it says. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and commands. See, Asa knows God, and he's learning God's word, and he's seeing to it that others are being taught. And this is why you need to be in a Living Free group. This is why you need to be a part of Sunday school, is we can't do what we don't know. You can't do what you don't know. And so the more you get into God's word, the more you're going to learn how to do what we need to do, be reminded, and to build this into our life. And this is why we got to be personally reading and engaging God's word throughout every day, throughout the year. This is why we preach verse by verse. This is why Pastor Stacy and I this is a core value of how we lead, is we need to let God's word into our heart to obey the commands of God, letting God speak to you. Because here's what you do. You get into God's word, you start reflecting on it, you start memorizing it, and you just let it digest in your life. Watch it transform you, and watch your life come alive. A second principle that we can learn is a heart that seeks God. Seeking after God. Look at verse 4, again, what it notes about Asa. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors. See, he challenged them to seek after God, and then note verse 7, just a few verses later. Asa told the people of Judah, let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. Land is still ours because we sought the Lord, our God, and he has given us peace on every side. See, as we seek God, as we know God, there is a blessing on our life. There is no problem that'll be too big or too small that he won't lead us through. He will help us with projects to complete. In other words, God will help see us and do things all along. He'll help us get to the end. When we start at the right end, he'll help us complete it. Thirdly, we see a heart that obeys God. See, when God speaks and gives us direction, we need to obey. Notice the change that Asa makes and the changes that occur for God's work to not only happen in his life, but into the nation as well. And this is part that we just don't keep doing the same thing, like in our sinful parts of our past life. He leads us into a new life and helps us to lead into new walks of obedience. Look at verse 3. Speaking of Asa, he removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. Pure and simple, what God honors is what should be in every area of our life. Parents, as we serve God, what honors God is what should be in our home. So if there's things that you're allowing in your home that doesn't please God, you need to get rid of it. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you and to convict you. And yet there's one more step, is to obey. Make the changes that need to happen. When we seek God, ask him, God, help me to clear things in my life that distract me from you. Fourth, it's a heart that is in awe of God. Asa worshiped God. But I want you to see Asa's example here because he made a significant change and it floored the people. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 11 through 12. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle. Sometimes we can just read by these numbers and we're thinking, well, big deal. 700 cattle, 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken from battle. They entered into a new covenant to seek the Lord and the God of their ancestors with all their heart and soul. See, the sacrifice that we're talking here was a major offering. Painful in what they're giving. But they were so zealous to see God come alive. They were so excited that all their heart, all their soul, they were going to let nothing, even this material wealth that they just acquired in a battle, to be the cornerstone of what their heart was going to be all about. The sacrifice was huge, but it was the heart behind it that was resolute to know God. And I encourage you throughout this week, before we get to the new year, read through 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 16. Reflect on this next week that you want to see as we pass from one old year to a new one, to what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. All the dreams you want to see take place will not take place if our heart's not in the right place where God wants it to be. Well, there's a couple things as we close that I want you to note as you take some time over the next several days to look at 2 Chronicles 14 and 6 through 16. Here's a couple things that I just want you to note, because it talks about the blessings of what it is to have a fully committed heart. Because when you do, here's what takes place. A fully committed heart, one, you'll have a spiritual vitality. I mean, People with a spiritual vitality are excited to worship God. When you have a vitality to your faith, church is not something you have to go to, it's where I get to go. And there's an excitement to get into his word. There's an excitement to pray because you know that when you pray, God's going to answer and make a way. So if you're facing a situation today, this should energize you that when we step on the doorstep of 2025, we're not going into it reluctantly with, well, what does this year have to hold? But we can go in faith-filled knowing our God has answered prayers and he's going to do the same even in a greater way this next year. So what energizes you? Spend time with him. Read his word. Pray every day. If not, you're half-hearted. And that will not only affect you, it'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your kids. When you don't chase God's best, your family won't get the best either. Secondly, notice this, the blessings of a fully committed person is you're going to see victory. There will be a blessing of victory, victory over sin, victory over generational sins that are strongholds, that have been a stronghold on your family. They can be broken. You can watch victory happen. So generational stuff like anger, gone, broken. Infidelity, broken. Substance abuse, alcohol, broken. Suicidal tendencies, shattered, broken. When we walk through our relationship with God, he will bring victory to whatever we face. And he wants to establish that in your life. Look, he wants to rewrite a story in your life. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 12. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa, and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. See, something to note is in this battle that Asa is there and they're seeing the Ethiopians defeated, they were horribly, woefully outnumbered. Asa's battle looked hopeless, but God came through. See, our battles are not hopeless. So if you're facing a battle today, maybe it's financial, maybe whatever your need, there's some relationship, there's something in the past, just know this. You might feel outflanked in your battle. Have confidence that we have the God who will bring us victory regardless of what we face. But I challenge you to know this. See, God's won the battle already. You need to put your armor on. You need to step into the battle that you're facing. And I know some might be already like, I'm tired of the battle, though. I will just tell you this. Walk in confidence of your relationship with him. Put on your armor. Even when you feel like you cannot take another step, but walk with him. Watch what he will do in and through your life. Do battle. Do your part. Trust God, because I know this of our God. He will bring victory because he goes before you. He loves you. Thirdly, a blessings of a fully committed heart is favor and blessing. See, God will bless and do such a work that others will want the blessing that they can see in your life. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. See, God brings favor with enemies. God will bring a peace inside of battles. God will go before you in a variety of ways. God will do blessing that's way more than just material, and it's way more than just financial. Unfortunately, life doesn't end there, because we have a choice to make. For those who choose a different direction, their path rather than God's. So if we don't deal with this heart issue, if we don't start at the end with our heart, here's what will happen, and I want you to notice this, that we also see in life of Asa. Because what you're going to notice is people who choose their own path rather than God's, they're going to have burdens, basically of a half-hearted person. And what are some of those burdens? One, spiritual complacency. And this can happen to anyone. Asa, in his mid-50s, is in a precarious time because now he's had affluence. He's had victories, and it's real easy to rest in our competency and not rest on God. So we can rest in our strengths, what we do good at, and God wants to do even more in our life than what our competencies that he even blesses could ever do just alone. So be careful that our dependency on God doesn't change with trusting our competency more than God's competency. Our energy can wane and we can get slackful. So look at Asa, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the first three verses. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message: "Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you this silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone." See, Asa sought to buy peace, rather than watching God provide the peace. He sought the easy non-conflict route, which is what we all can do. We all can find a tendency to do that. See, we need the Holy Spirit to check us, to convict us. We need to continue to lead on in our fully committed, wholehearted hearts to worship and devote God. And notice this, a second burden, a burden of a half-hearted is a lack of victory. Worship team, if you'll make your way back, see, there will be a lack of victory. There'll be the lack of the miraculous. Do you want to see the miraculous take place and God rewrite a new story? It starts at the end with your heart. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 6. Then King Asa called out the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, "Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you." But I also want you to notice verses 12 and 13. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to physicians. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. See, half-heartedness can be caustic. We can remain leaning on God individually, but here's the half-heartedness can so circumvent what God wants to do in through your life. And I just want to encourage you to not let the little things, because time can so do this. You can allow yourself to relax. Things are going good. Often points, if you're in that part, you've either just came out of a battle or you're about to go into one and you just don't know it yet. Because you know what? Battles, challenges, there will always be that, even in a new year of 2025. But I encourage you, what do you want to see God do in and through your life this next year? What do you want to see God do in your marriage? What do you want to see God do in your business this next year? What do you want God to do? What are you seeking him to do this next year? And just to give you kind of, we're going to keep on this type of a track because this really sets us up. Are you expecting God to do something new in 2025? Because in the month of January, next month, as we launch out next Sunday, we're going to continue and really start our year in a prayer series that I've entitled it Greater Than. And this is greater is just a faith word that I've had that I just feel like God keeps bringing back for Calvary Church for this year. And we'll be looking at one of my favorite prayers and scriptures over the next couple weeks. And it'll help us set the tone for 2025. Because here's the deal. God wants to do greater things in your life than you've ever asked, thought, or imagined. He wants to do greater things that you ever thought are capable. Greater things that you'd even think or dare to ask God. So how do I see that happen? How can that hear that be more than just words? But how can I see that tangibly occur in my life? We'll go on that journey next week. I encourage you to be here as we go through that. But let's get back to our message for today. To step into the greater that God has for us. Where do you want God? Where do you want God to do in your life? What do you want to see him do this next year? What are you expecting God to do in 2025? You got to start at the end. Start with your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we pray, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will help us to look back to kings of Israel, God, some that served you well and others that woefully didn't. Help us, oh God, to not let our sin, our deceitful heart, distract and detour us from what you have for us. God, I'm so grateful that you know the depths of our heart and the evil that rests in all of us. But God, you're a God that still, in spite of that, you want a relationship and draw near to us. And so God, I pray that you will help us as we walk into a new year. May we walk towards you and the purpose and the plans that you have for each one of us, because it just won't happen. We have to pray it and believe you for it. So Lord, we help us to have an expectant heart and all that you want to do in and through our life, we pray. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question. If you're here today and you want to take new steps with God, you want to start at the end, and yet you're here today, there's some watching online, that if you'd really get to the core of the matter, you know you have a half-hearted heart. You're living halfway, just enough maybe to feel like, hey, I'm living okay. And yet if you knew in your relationship with God, you know it's not wholehearted that he desires. So if you're here today, I encourage you, if you need to renew your commitment, your dedication to him, or maybe for the very first time, you need to say, I need in faith to trust him with everything, to lead my life, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I need to do it full on for the very first time. And if that's you today, I'm so excited because you can start that new relationship. Start this at the right end with your heart and your faith in trusting him. And if that's you and you need to make that commitment to him today, you start with what essentially is a prayer. And if you want to make that decision, if you want to invite him, this isn't about joining Calvary Church. This is about joining in him in a relationship. I encourage you to say this prayer with me, and I encourage everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me, not leaving me in my sin. Forgive me for doing life my own way, my own will. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I trust what your Son did on a cross for me, dying for my sins, but coming to life again to bring victory over sin and death and reunite me with you. Do a new work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.